الحمد لله الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في الكتاب الحميد والفرقان المجيد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة إن الله مع الصابرين ولا تقولوا لمن يقتل في سبيل الله أموات بل أحياء ولكن لا تشعرون صدق الله العظيم. Respected ulama, elders, brothers and dear friends in Islam, as far as the onslaught and conspiracy against Islam is concerned, as far as onslaught and conspiracy as far as haq is concerned, commence from the time, or should I say beginning of time. Prior to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala granting life and placing the ruh into Hazrat Adam alayhi salam, from then we realize how shaitan made mockery with Hazrat Insan. Then if you're looking from the period of Nabi Kareem sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, as far as the various conspiracies against this beautiful religion and the religion of truth is concerned, was probably being carried out in a secretive manner. In such a way that probably me and you as Muslims did not realize what these batil forces and what the kuffar had planned in order to destroy us. But now we are moving in such times where this conspiracy is no more secretive. It is in the open, and anyone will realize that as far as the onslaught towards Islam is concerned, it is from every batil force, not only the Jews. Palestinian issue is carrying on for ages. Then we look at communism. You look at Sudan and Somalia. You go then towards Bosnia, Croatia. You go towards Burma, Philippines. You go to the various areas in any global corner. We will realize the receiving end, the affected group are the Muslims. And this was the prediction of Nabi Kareem sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, that such a time will come when one batil or one kafir force, they have just completed from my ummah and taken advantage of them, the next one is ready to attack them. Now this news, this media that we hear, we see and we read, we all know that this is not true. For the media is controlled by the Yahudi and never will want to paint the true picture. Only makes sense. Unfortunately, despite the kuffar even realizing the onslaught against Islam, some of our Muslims would prefer siding with the kuffar and also put the blame on the so-called fundamentalists. Anyway, if a Muslim has to stand up for his rights, he becomes a fundamentalist or he becomes a terrorist. And whom he is fighting against, it's clearly stated against the Christian, the Jew, the Hindu or whatever it may be. This present crisis in Kosovo was always the Serbs, not the terrorists. Against who? Not the Muslims. The ethnic cleansing. Now through the fadl of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, four brothers, alhamdulillah, more than a month back, went to Albania. In order, with the intention more as a fact-finding mission. We managed, alhamdulillah, through the fadl of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, to arrive in Tirana, that is Albania. To get into Kosovo was virtually impossible. That too, getting into Tirana, no guarantee. Whether the planes will be granted landing rights by NATO, from Istanbul, from the Scandinavian countries and so forth. They had total command over Albania. Albanian law did not count NATO control. On Thursday we arrived. An atmosphere that anyone that lands there will realize you're in a war-torn zone. Surrounded by all the military planes, the Apaches, the helicopters, tents, and those camps with their radar and satellite dishes. And on one side of the tarmac, more than a kilometer, tents with American personnel, American soldiers. We managed to get to the town, Tirana, which is the capital of Albania, which probably to the locals was a norm, moving around with military vehicles passing by and soldiers, for they live in the during the time of communism. To them it was a normal situation, but to us was something different. This particular fact-finding mission actually commenced on the Friday. I'm not here to give historic points or geopolitics. I don't even know how to spell those words. But just briefly to highlight that this incident did not start this year or last year. It's not coincidence. It is well planned. Kosovo is a country 109,000 square kilometers. Population, 2 million people. 1459, the Ottoman Empire conquered the Balkan states. Kosovo was under the rule of the Ottoman Empire. They ruled there until 1912 for 453 years. It was under the Empire, or under the Ottoman Empire. 1946, autonomy was granted to Kosovo by Marshal Tito. Another very interesting fact here. Bosnia and Kosovo, despite being granted autonomy by Marshal Tito, they were free to practice their religion. 1981, highlight, 1981, there was a Serb backlash in Kosovo. 1989, the Serb military began to rule over Kosovo. 1990, the Kosovan parliament was abolished, the Albanian language was abolished, civil servants expelled, and great leaders took refuge in Macedonia, which there they call Macedonia. On Friday, we commence our journey from the capital of Albania, Tirana, to a place known as Elbasan. 54 kilometers, under half an hour done by our youngsters. Due to Albania being one of the poorest countries in Europe, and as far as infrastructure is concerned, pathetic. Because of communism. 54 kilometers took us more than 1.5 hours. We first went and visited a Kuwaiti organization who was established in Al-Basan from 1992. When the Bosnian crisis took place, the Arabs had foresight and established many institutions around Albania and Kosovo itself, giving them the knowledge of deen. They had introduced a crash course for the local Albanians and Kosovans together when it came to Islamic studies. Although being, or despite being a Kuwaiti organization, those that took care of that institution were Sudanese who lived there since 1992, whose salary is under $100 a month. Great sacrifice. Whilst visiting this institution, we met a doctor, originally a Palestinian, practicing in Qatar, Dr. Musbah Muhammad. We began chatting with him. He came with the intention to serve and help the refugees. He explained two interesting incidents. Number one, plus minus 10 minutes away from this institution, was a camp which was known as Sakan al-Zubah, which hosted 6,000 refugees. Who took care of this particular camp? In accordance to the flag that was flying high and mighty, was the Israelis. The Israeli flag flew high and mighty, and showing the world that we are assisting the refugees. Amongst the 6,000 refugees, those that assisted in the camps were refugees themselves, Kosovan doctors, barring for one nurse that was sent from Israel, a Jewish nurse, who was placed amongst them to show the world the Jews are assisting. Each bedding under them was a sticker from the American Jewish Society. Yet they were doing nothing. The second point, the Turkish camp which we passed by and we stopped, which hosted 5,000 Kosovan refugees, did not allow any Muslims to enter the camp. The only persons that were allowed to enter this camp were those that had TV cameras to show the world Turkey is making khidmat. And besides the journalists, the Christian missionaries. We met an alim from Birmingham who he himself told us that when he went to the Turkish camp, they wanted entry but they were blatantly refused. Somehow they told these Turkish guards, allow us, for those Kosovan refugees are our brothers. We want to read Salah with them. The reply came that what? We do not read Namaz. Under their noses, the Christian missionaries were granted permission to enter. This Dr. Musbah Muhammad narrates, and he says he went in as a medical personnel. When he saw the literature that was distributed to the Kosovans by the Christians, he began giving dawah to them, and through the fazl of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, they discarded all the literature. We went from this particular Kuwaiti institution to a camp in Lija, passing by this Turkish camp, which the only thing they provided was water, nothing else. And that too, the water was from the stream that was flowing. When we arrived in Lija, it was the time of Juma. First camp, first visit of the refugees from our side. As the doors of the vehicle opened, we were swarmed by the young children, the refugees. And in what a way, everyone shouting louder than the next child, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Wallahi al-azim, as we set foot out, if I'm not exaggerating, plus minus 15 children would hang on to one person. And what? Not only salam. Youngster, 4 years, 5 years, looking at your face and saying Surah Al-Fatiha, and he's wanting to read Surah Al-Fatiha for you to listen. And once he recites his Surah Al-Fatiha, everyone there gets jazba. The one that he recited once, he before we left probably read it 10 times in front of us. Barakat of Deen again. The Imam of that camp, Imam Abdul Hakim, said an incident, an interesting incident took place the day prior to us coming. A vehicle filled with Christian missionaries and aid under the banner of Red Cross arrived at this very same camp. And as they opened the door, the very same incident took place. The children ran and rushed and started making as-salam loudly. The leader of the Christian missionary said to these children, "What salam, what salam?" They persisted and continued conveying salams. They became so frustrated, who the missionaries, they banged the door and drove. Barakat of salam drove the missionaries away. They do not provide, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala provide. And when we contribute, be careful, let it not go to their hands. For their contribution is to take the Muslim away from deen and bring them towards Christianity. We perform Jummah. As we entered a hall, which reminds me of the time of communism, probably a canteen for the military personnel, a dilapidated hall, wherein every refugee with such a warm welcome stood and made salam with us. The Imam of that particular camp, Imam Abdul Hakim, was a local Albanian from Shkodra, sacrificed his hometown, came here to teach the refugees deen. He began with his bayan in the Albanian language, which we do not understand. But again, the barakat of deen go any part of the world. When Allah and His Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam's name is mentioned, automatically one will perceive that message. What a jazbati bayan. Wallahi al-azim, despite not understanding, brought tears to every single member that was present there. The azan was given. Khutbah performed. Request was made that we should be performing and lead the Jummah Salah. Very readily, this request was accepted. For the intention was, Ya Allah, on the day of Qiyamah, You are going to be showering Your mercy upon those whom zulam was made upon. Oh Allah, at least for one salah we were their leaders. Shower Your mercy upon us as well. Include us among those mazlooms. After the particular salah, one of the brothers asked if there's any words to be conveyed, any message to the refugees. First meeting with the refugees, probably we are not familiar, we are not geared as far as the language is concerned. We said not much, but I would like to mention one thing to the refugees. That we have come here on behalf of the Muslims of South Africa to convey their salams unto you. We understand your feeling and your pain that you are going through. In whatever manner we can, we are trying to help. Qunut Nazila is being performed in the masajids. Yasin Khatam is being recited. Dua is being made in virtually every majlis. This is the least we can do. When it was just for this to be translated, simultaneously, every refugee, with his right hand on his bosom, lowered himself to show their gratitude and conveyed their salams to the South African Muslims as well. From there we went on to Zurich. again, majority of the camps we visited was run by the Muslim organizations. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has created that dar in every heart of a believer. They did not just go find an empty piece of land and set camp. They went one further. They went to look for abandoned factories and flats and hosted their refugees there with lighting system. We saw personally that these refugees were not only given proper bedding, but also fans. One can imagine the cold at night. When it rained, what was the condition in the tents? This particular factory we went to in Zurich, it was lunchtime, plus minus each camera, there was partitions with 3-ply board. Plus minus 12 pairs of shoes in each camera. And the amazing fact, the room we went into was 3 local ulama of Albania that also decided to live with the refugees so that they may part with deen to them. This is barakat of deen. Where you go, deen is going to be propagated. The message is going to be spread. You cannot stop that. The following day we went to Kochova, a camp 360 refugees. Whilst we just entered this camp, 48 new refugees had entered. One can imagine their condition and how confused that refugee is. Walking for so many days, which we will realize when we interview few brothers how many days they walk. With nothing in their hands, small boxes or either small bags, one each, with little children. Not even knowing that this probably camp they entered, whether there's safety there or probably that might be the enemy. Mentally perturbed. No sign of emotion on their face. Whether to thank those responsible for the camp that you have invited us to come and stay here. No thank even. Complete silence. Just their facial expression explain the situation. I met a brother by the name of Idris, 20 years of age, studying in Syria, Deen Italian. 2 years already in Syria. He's actually from Kosovo. When he heard what had transpired in Kosovo, immediately he came to Albania in search of his parents. This was the first camp he set foot in. When he saw the need of the importance of spreading Deen to the refugees, and an interpreter for the refugees, he even abandoned the search of his father and his mother, whether they are alive or not, he didn't even know. And where they are, he doesn't even know. But he prepared to set camp with these refugees in Kochova, and he was the imam of that particular camp. Again, lunchtime, refugees all in the mess, with their pots in a line. I met a youngster, Buram, 14 years of age. He said to me, 2,000 people of their village at once were driven out. He said the Serbs came, separated the young, those of military age, from about 17 to 24, 25. They were kept back by the Serbs and we were told to move on. We moved a few kilometers and then I heard machine gun fire. Whilst speaking to this youngster, he even mentioned that we walked for 5 days and 5 nights without any sleep. Those, the camp before that, walked from the border to the refugee camp, 150 kilometers non-stop. While speaking to Buram, a lady approached me in a voice that one can actually see the pain in it. And raising her voice, pointing to her child in her arms, plus minus 5 to 6 months. Her name Ifite. I inquired from the Tarjuman, what is this lady trying to say? She says that we were also separated from our husbands. We were a group of women, majority carrying children. We were told to move a direction which was not known to us. And suddenly, a group of Serb police stopped us. They took all our children away. They insisted that every mother should give their money, whatever they have on them, together with their jewelry. Then she says, that unfortunate mother, whom did not have any of this, either money, any treasure, or any jewelry, their children were slaughtered in front of us. From there on, we met 2-3 other brothers trying to show their jazba for deen, coming, giving the adhan. One narrated his dream that he saw that he was called to Makkah Mu'azzama, and as he came, the doors of the Kaaba opened and he was performing salah. And he says, brother, please make dua that Allah accepts this dream of mine. And they would call us Hoja. At first, I thought probably they are referring us to communism. Enver Hoja was one of the dictators during the time of communism. So when we inquired, what is Hoja? They say, no, Hoja means imam or leader. I said, Jazakallah, at least we're not communists. As we were leaving this camp, we moved out, we saw a family. It seemed an affluent family, according to their dressing. And eyes fell on a girl, 24 years, Lindita her name. Usually we describe a person who is thin as a stick. I describe her thin as a twig. Why? She was suffering from leukemia. 3 weeks prior to meeting her, she had an appointment at Belgrade for chemotherapy. And she says, imagine me going to Belgrade now. What type of therapy will be carried out? With tears in her eyes, pain in her body, holding her knees bent forward, with a sporting hat covering her head, for there's no hair. What do I do? Tell these authorities to let me go. I am prepared to smuggle my way into Italy with the cargo ship that is from Durres in Albania. A ferry daily goes from Durres to Bari, Italy. I will get into Germany, for I've got family members. I can undergo this treatment. But they are not allowing me to go, for she has no documents. The Serb removed every identity document from every Kosovan refugee. Please explain to them. We call those that were responsible and explain the need that you can see this woman in pain. Can't you help? He says, well, we will try as far as temporary visas or travel documents is concerned from the various embassies, but there's $4,000 needed. We had one brother with us who opted to give $2,000, the other $2,000 from ourselves. Not only for her, she was prepared to take her father, and she left her mother, brothers, and her uncle behind. When we explained to her, this is the money that you require, alhamdulillah, this has been done, just wait a day or two, inshallah, things will work. What happens if you try and smuggle yourself and you get caught? So wait a day or two, inshallah, things will work out. Later we got the news, alhamdulillah, she reached Germany. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, inshallah, grant her shifa. She showed that appreciation. Immediately she refused, you cannot go, come to my room. We went to her room. Now one can imagine, if you're in that condition or that plight, if you have to leave your home, what do you take? The valuables. That which is precious to you. As soon as we entered her room, what is the first thing do we see in her tent? The picture of the Kaabatullah. They have taught us deen. We are teaching our young brothers deen. make dua that we will be also present. And we sit and condemn them and say, where's the iman? This is azab. We're coming to that. She says, they come from Metrovica. They had to travel 4 days and 4 nights on tractor. From there we went to a camp known as Barat. 750 refugees. Interesting camp. More than 2/3 in this camp were children. And from this 2/3 children, more than 70% did not have parents. Again, each child holding you, surrounding you. We that day probably delayed our Zohar Salah because of Safar. Every Muslim camp had a Jamaat Khana. We went, we performed our Zohar Salah. As we turned around, to our amazement, we saw all the children sitting. As we entered the camp, they were without topis and scarves. But as soon as we turned, each one had a topi and scarf. And with such humility, that one child had his feet stretched out towards us. The other one is explaining to him in their language, the Albanian language, bring your feet in, that is disrespect. Mufti Saab, one of our colleagues, when he saw this opportunity, immediately he gave a small talk, the importance of Surah Al-Fatiha together with its meaning, and explained what is Surah Al-Fatiha. And thereafter the children, again eager to recite Surah Al-Fatiha, which was difficult to hear each one, so we recited ta'awuz aloud, and every child chorus, and we read the four quls together with Surah Al-Fatiha, and alhamdulillah, through the fadl of Allah, a small time madrasa took place. We left this particular camp. Whilst returning to Tirana, we passed by a town known as Kawaya. Kawaya is a small town. It is probably smaller than Vellum town. That particular town hosted 20,000 refugees. From amongst the 20,000, 5,000 were hosted by local families. Now one must understand, there were three types of refugees, three types of camps. One is the transitional camp. Whenever the refugees came, they would go to the sporting grounds or halls and placed in there. Then whichever country wanted to host certain amount of refugees, or any registered organization that wanted to take care of so many refugees with the permission of the Albanian government, they would go to the transitional camps, take that amount of refugees, take them to the place where they have catered for. So one is the transitional camp, one is the camps which we are familiar with or which we've seen, and the third hosted by the local Albanian families. And this probably brings about that manzar of the Ansars, when the Muhajirin migrated and entered Medina Tayyiba. Openly they welcomed their brothers and shared whatever they had with them. Albanians themselves are poor. Many a refugee family, when they saw that the local families, despite hosting them and gave them a warm welcome, they realized that those families did not have sufficient for themselves. Where are they going to cater for us? Out of embarrassment, they walked out of the homes. There wasn't much concentration from international aid or whatever it is towards these refugees. And there were over 40,000 that we knew just in one, two areas that were hosted by local Albanian families. Nonetheless, this town Kawaya, the population 100% Muslims. But then again, an amazing fact here is there was one new structure which caught the eye, which was outstanding, and that happened to be the church. In an area where there's 100% Muslims, Reason, the Italians set camp in this town. So remember, wherever UN, Red Cross, Italy, America, France, you must know automatically there's a purpose. Following day, we went to a sporting field which was more water sports, Olympic-sized swimming pools and diving. Although there was no water, they kept this particular area and they made it into a camp, which was known as the Dinamo Camp. These tents were set by the UNHCR, and the feeding scheme, the Swiss were responsible. Again, we reach lunchtime. This is our, probably our takdir. Most of the camps we arrive lunchtime. The food that was being distributed, poloni from Switzerland. So one can imagine what is the condition of halal and haram. Nonetheless, we met, I caught one of the brothers together with a small family sitting under the tree, had their chatais outside. And this brother was reading tasbih. Made salam with him. Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. What's your name? My name is Yunus. How old are you? 46 years. Who is with you? His mother, 67 years old. He had his two brothers, one Down syndrome, his wife as well. But he does not know where his children are. There wasn't a single family really that we met that the entire family was intact, either missing or probably killed. But then this particular Yunus says to us that he met his family by luck. Because my family was separated from me. The Serbs separated them. They gathered the men from our village, took us to the field, and the Serbs opened fire on us. So when I saw my colleagues, my neighbors, my friends falling to the ground, I fell together. I also fell. I thought my life is, I'm saved. Later, when I opened my eyes to peep, what did I see? I saw the Serbs with their war tanks and their vehicles driving over our bodies. But Allah tabarak wa ta'ala willed it, I was alive. Three of us survived this incident. Now what happens? Place ourselves in this situation. Massacre takes place. Two, three brothers survive. As soon as the signs are there, the Serbs are gone, what do? Run. Run. Elderly people, two or three, what would they do? This is the barakat of deen again. Study Afghanistan. The Russians, the communists, if one of their soldiers was left behind wounded, even just a cut on the finger, they would not turn to help him. They would leave him. Even if the enemy gets hold of him, it's alright, as long as we run for our lives and for safety. Kafir is buzdil. But when he came to a mujahid, if one of the mujahid was even breathing his last, there was no hope for him. The entire group of mujahideen would sacrifice their lives and try and save that mujahid that is in distress, even if that mujahid was in the hands of the enemy. These two, three elderly brothers did not run. Whatever they found, they dug holes and buried their friends. He says, after that we came, I don't know how many camps, but Allah made me come to the camp where my family was. Many people you would see, elderly people that could not walk. Why? Either falling off tractors, falling off cliffs with fractured ribs, their legs are broken somewhat. Things like this was common and normal. A brother Shamsuddin from Jakovica, a young man with two children, One baby was few months old, and one was almost 2 years. He said unto us that he had to take both his children, place them on his back, and he was followed by serf police in their vehicles, and they made an announcement. If he had to sit just for a breather, he was shot. He had to walk with his two children for 12 hours non-stop. Then we met in this very same camp, Beckham Ghosh, 30 years of age, who comes from Dushanava. He was gone mad. He was actually insane. We inquired from one of the brother why. Prior to the incident, or did this incident make him go this suffer? He says, no, he actually witnessed 7 of his brothers being killed in front of him. As we're leaving this camp, an elderly woman called us and says, mine was an ED. What she meant by ED? She says that it was Eid al-Adha and I was preparing meals for my family. And as I was preparing, that is when the Serbs came, kicked the pots and told us to move, never to return. Next to this camp, a very interesting incident, which up till today doesn't make sense, was a Greek camp next to the Dinamo camp, and what separated the two camps was one fence. We heard some singing carrying on, and we went close by to witness what type of singing is this. We saw a lady with a scarf in the Greek camp, surrounded by children. She had a metal plate and a spoon and banging to get a tune and teaching the children Tala al-Badru alayna. From there on we went to Palati Sportit, Palace of Sport, the very first transitional camp that we went into. At times 8,000, at times 15,000 refugees in that camp. And that camp was a basketball arena, indoor. One can imagine one small arena like that put 2,000 people just for 2 days, and one can imagine the condition and the state of that particular arena. Alhamdulillah, there was a doctor by the name of Dr. Abdul Latif, also a Palestinian working for the Saudi Relief Fund. He was responsible for the cleanliness, the sanitation, and so forth. He says to us, brothers, if you came 2 weeks back, wallah, you would have not been able to enter that place with the stench and the condition. And alhamdulillah, they were doing a fantastic job. The first family we met was Sami, 25 years. His wife, Floria, 24 years. Child, a daughter, 3 years old. Floria herself had to leave her parents. They were too old, they couldn't travel. She had to leave her elder sister, 31 years of age, not married, to take care of her parents. For 7 weeks, no news, whether they're alive or whether they were forced to leave that place. She was pregnant. 63 months pregnant, 67 kilos, she dropped to 48 kilos in 2 weeks. She lost 19 kilograms in 2 weeks. She couldn't withstand the sound and the noise of the camp. Whatever she ate came out immediately. We sat with her, we spoke to her. Did you go and see the doctor? She said yes. Do they have medication? No. Can you obtain the medication that is required from the town? Yes. Do you have money? No. Took out $100, gave it to her. She says, I don't want it. Why? You are in need of it. She says, brother, let me explain to you one thing. When I saw you and when you were speaking to us, that alone brought comfort to us, and this is what we want you to sit with us and speak to us more about deen. This brings sanity to us, and we forget the ailment and the sicknesses we have. That money we don't want. Please, brother, do not leave us. And if you have to leave, promise you are coming back again. This is the eagerness they had for Deen. The Arabs had pumped all the refugee camps from Saudi Arabia. Qurans translated in the Albanian language. Every family we sat with, plus minus 20 to 25 minutes, what we would do, open the Quran, recite the Arabic verse, ask anybody who can read Albanian, this is the translation, translate to them. Probably give more insight of that ayah. Wallah, what an effect it had on those Muslims. Barakat of Deen. We left. Immediately one youngster, 19 years of age, Muhammad, Sami's nephew, comes and he says, I fought in the KLA. I killed many Serbs. Will I get Jannah? He goes to his attache. He opens the attache and he takes out a photograph, three of them in the KLA uniform with machine guns. He says, this is a present. Immediately one youngster, 19 years of age, Muhammad, Sami's nephew, comes and he says, I fought in the KLA. I killed many Serbs. Will I get Jannah? He goes to his attache. He opens the attache and he takes out a photograph, three of them in the KLA uniform with machine guns. He says, this is a present from me to you. Rashmiya's brother, Sakon, 27 years of age, also fought in the KLA. Poor chap, passed away. We met his family, wife and three children. 6 years, 3 years, 17 months, they don't even know that their father is not there to return. Frigidari, just 2-3 camps. I know I'm taking much of your time, but inshallah probably this will bring some inspiration to us and lessons to us and eye-openers. Frigidari, we went to one double-story building, 30 refugees, all from Metrovica. Every male that we met there was in the KLA. They said that their battalion comprised of 1,010 men. One of them, Basha, said to us that don't ask us how many men we had to bury ourselves. Now remember KLA, the Kosovan Liberation Army, is an army backed by the British, which majority of the Kosovans did not agree. But because of this incident that took place, imagining witnessing your mothers being raped, your daughters being raped, your brothers being slaughtered, the only option they had was to join the KLA. And that too, whenever they went for the crash course to Italy, any brother that joined the KLA and was found reading Salah and making Dua was not allowed to fight. Why? For then it becomes jihad. Even the kuffar realize what is jihad. This should not become jihad, it should become a liberation struggle. The soldiers of that particular country or that area, when everything is finished, the so-called peacekeeping forces are there, are being disarmed. Doesn't make sense. Probably you might have heard on news, there was one stage 2-3 days in a row where a lot of bombing was taking place, NATO airstrikes. I'm again mentioning airstrikes. That a lot of Kosovan civilians were killed, mistake bombing as they call it. The leaders of the KLA accepted it. No, it's a mistake, we can't do it. It happens in war. Respected elders and brothers, these were not civilians that were killed, mistakes. For this type of sophisticated weapons and probably monitors and satellite, it is not acceptable. It was not civilians that were being targeted, it was the Mujahideen. Whilst present there, 400 Mujahideen were killed. This is the reason why they were afraid of sending in ground troops. No other reason. Because once the ground troops come in, then it becomes Nurun ala Nur for the Mujahid. Not only does he attack the Serb, but he is there to attack America as well. From there we went to a camp, Urina camp, 700 run by the Italians. We were not allowed to enter. Alhamdulillah, somehow we camouflaged ourselves, praising the guards, and managed to slip into this camp. First person we meet, Uka Castrati, 68 years. He says people from his village had to leave everything behind. They weren't even allowed to go into their house or take their valuables. What they had on, that is how they had to leave. We met another brother by the name of Tafil, who was a male nurse in Jakova. He said that, believe me brothers, I am in charge of the medical staff here. The Italians promised us the world. We haven't seen one promise being fulfilled. Many camps are abandoned, were abandoned by the Greeks, were abandoned by the Italians. None to look after them. In fact, they didn't even have water. But yet we, on television and in the newspapers, witness that these are the ones that are catering. Nonsense. Nonsense. Whilst in this particular camp, we saw two young Christian missionaries, women. One can imagine their dressing to capture the attention of the Kosovan males. But again, barakat of deen, wherever we saw these Christian missionaries, we would find two, three children. And as soon as we entered, should I say through the barakat of the sunnah of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wasallam, chairs were brought, they put us on a pedestal, coffee in each camp, and they would come surround us in the hundreds. And each one has a message. We do not know how to thank you. You have come here. You're such a good man. Give us more advice. Give us this. Do the South Africans, Muslims, do they know about this? They also making dua. Jazakallah. This and that. This was the condition. On Tuesday, we did some field work. Although we did not go with funds, people forced us, you are going to take plus minus $35,000 we took. We worked with a registered Arab organization in Albania, which we decided we want to concentrate on the refugees that are hosted by the Albanian families. We decided we will make a hamper, and one hamper will be shared by three or four. Each hamper cost $11, including transport from Tirana to Rocagina to the various towns, plus minus 60, 100, 120 kilometers. We took 500 hampers. We distributed this. Each hamper, 2 bottles of 1.5 liter oil, 2 kilo rice, 2 kilo spaghetti, 2 kilo beans, 1 kilo sugar, 0.5 kilo salt, 0.5 kilo soap powder, 5 bars soap, 1 shampoo, 1 liquid soap. As this hamper was distributed and they received it, the dua they made, if that amin is accepted, then inshallah we jannatis. The dua came from those refugees from the bottom of their hearts. The following day, we were met with the general director of the Joint Relief Committee for Kosovo, the Muslim organizations. 6 major organizations from Saudi Arabia, from Qatar, United Arab Emirates, and so forth, Kuwait, would meet on a daily basis, minimum 1.5 hours, making mashwara. That we have surplus of this, do you need? You have more than that, assist us. It was a joint relief committee. Not one organization took the full credit or we did so much, or we did more than this, or we pumped in so many millions. Common cause, Muslims suffering, help, aid. And this is what deen teaches. What you give were the right, the left should not know. May Allah tabarak wa ta'ala grant our organizations the spirit as well. Very important. Let me explain to you the Arabs. We that sit comfortable in our homes, being probably mesmerized and brainwashed by the Jewish media, always criticizing the Arabs. One Arab brother, ordinary brother from Al-Qasim, traveled 2 days with us. You look at him, you'll probably think he's a khadim. One attache in his hands. He would say, Junaid, hold it. I held it. I didn't even realize the value of it. Later when I was told, Shaitan started whispering. $500,000. He says to that organization, I'm leaving back. Inshallah, your account number I have, in 3 days, another $500,000 will be transferred. These places we went, 3 places, do not have any masajids. Give me the total cost by tomorrow, phone me. And for every masjid, I'm prepared to foot the entire bill. 3 masjids, plus $1 million. One man. The Arabs have established institutions and masajids from 1992. Kukus. The airport was being built by who? Kukus did not have an airport. Kuwait. United Arab Emirates were building the airport. They were building the roads in Kukus. They had Jamaat Khanas in every camp. When NATO realized that the refugees are all fighting to get into Muslim camps, they forced United Arab Emirates to get out of Kukus. And they are the ones that are doing the work. We saw with our own eyes. People want to know what the governments are doing. Yes, the governments become puppets. But they even realize their mistakes. Sometimes they have to act on that level to show that they are not. The only cargo planes that we saw in Tirana airport, the day we landed and the day we left, were Saudi Arabian military cargo planes. They are working, not now. They are working since 1992. We met Arab brothers that are there, that are more than 5 months there, that haven't even spoken to their families. Not even 1 cent they are being paid for what they are doing. This is the condition. These are the Al-Waqf Jamiatul Islamiyya, Al-Haramain, Al-Nadwa, Wami, International Islamic Relief Organization, Al-Hilal, so forth. And the amount of Islamic literature in the Albanian language, in the short period, what they have done, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala reward them. The last day, last 2 days, 83 kilometers, 3,467 refugees. Here again we distributed 1,000 parcels. Whilst distributing, next to this point of distribution, there was a house in which I saw many children. I went in, inquired, are you Kosovan refugees? They said, yes. Three bedrooms, 3 by 2 each bedroom. 1 bathroom, 1 toilet. How many refugees in that house? 97. And being fed by the church. This is the halat and condition. Then again we went back to Palati Sportit, transitional camp, palace of sport. Why we went? Only Allah tabarak wa ta'ala through His infinite wisdom knows. When we got to this camp, one of the girls came to make salam. Wa alaikum as-salam wa rahmatullah. What is your name? Sia Amreen.
Suzanne. Her name is Suzanne. Suzanne, this name is not Muslim. She said, no Muslim name. I said, no Muslim name. She said, what name? I said, Italian name. A lot of Italian influence. The dressing is Italian. Why? Under communism, all of a sudden you get freedom. And that to such freedom, poor people, how do they get all these designer clothes? Italy sent their second-hand clothes to them. Oh, Italian name. What Muslim name? Keep Sumaya. Sumaya. Sumaya Muslim. Very good. Very good name. She told her friend. Her friends come and ask me, my name is Gloria, Glodina, Florentina. Each one asking me Muslim name or Italian name. I would say 99% kafir name. For 1.5 hours we stood there just changing names to Muslim names. And they're too proud that now they got Muslim names. Respected elders, one point here. Communism tried to destroy them and remove the identity of them being Muslims by forcing them to keep these type of names. Serbs, when these refugees were coming into Albania, Macedonia, Montenegro, and so forth, Bulgaria, every possible identity document was destroyed, including their passports. One identity seal which never can be removed, and that is Iman, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. Change the name, you will succeed, but you cannot remove that Iman. Respected elders, 50 years communism. Then they given freedom. And the West climbs in socialism, destroying the character, morals and everything. Despite all that, they still know they Muslims. Is that not a sign of Iman? And we sit and say, no, but they don't look like Muslims. How much do we look like Muslims? Look at our wedding functions. Look at our days of Eid. How we portray this great day. With fast cars and loud music? Is that Islam? And then too, we go one step further by saying this is the adab of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Since when we became Allah? To say upon whom azab comes. I always bring this point. Leave your car outside with the windows open. Go home tonight, sleep without locking your door and your burglar proofing and without activating your alarm. Is that not azab? That we are slaves in our own homes. In the Jummah I also mentioned, one brother stand up here with guarantee and certainty that he hasn't got any problem in his business or at home. If it's not his wife, his children. Not children, he can't see eye to eye with brother. If not that, he can't see eye to eye with uncle. Somewhere along the line, if it is not drugs in the family, it is gambling. If it is not gambling, it is alcohol. If it is not there, there's what you call it, adultery, fornication. One brother stand up here. Is this not the azab of Allah? Answer to yourselves. We are quick to judge others. Yes, we learn from hadith and Quran. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala sometimes send down certain types of musibat, certain types of problems, certain types of calamities. Sometimes it is a blessing. And sometimes it is a taste of azab. How do we know what is azab and what is a blessing? I will tell you. One brother, I do not hit it off with him due to personal reasons. If he meets in an accident, so you, Allah Pak doesn't come down with a lakri. He deserves it. Very next day, I meet in the same accident. Allah knows best. He saved me from a bigger bala. say this is not happening in our community. Hazrat Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thani rahmatullah so beautifully gave us a measuring instrument. When you are confronted with a problem and musibat, and that brings you closer to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, it is a blessing in disguise. And these Kosovan realize, and it is bringing closer to deen. Their eagerness for deen, wallah, it is hair-raising. And any musibah that we are confronted with takes us away from Allah is azab. Now analyze ourselves and see our situation, whether it's azab or it's rahmat. I lost a couple of thousand rand, probably burglary or somebody did me down. No, you know what? That wasn't fair. That amount of interest, I'll just put that interest in here. This, not realizing this is azab because we're going further away from Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. That's azab. So let's not become judgmental, brothers. We went to one more place after that, Shkodra. Shkodra was the first capital of Albania. A place which was designed for 60,000 people, 116 kilometers away from Tirana, 3.5 hours journey. 10 minutes away, or rather 10 kilometers away from the Macedonian border. Designed for 60,000, when we were there, 125,000 people were there. We went to one of the camps, Fabricana Duhana camp, 4,000 refugees, run by Medical de Francis. Blatantly refused us to enter that camp. One of our colleagues actually went to the seniors and said, do you know why you are afraid to allow us to enter? Because we are Muslims. Straight. That woman was so embarrassed, she just turned and she had nothing to say. There was one Islamic Relief organization which hosted 820 refugees and they were building new camps. This is what we saw in those few days. From there on our return, the airport, we saw many refugees that were going towards Turkey, that were going towards Europe, that is Germany, Italy, France. A lot of them do have families down that side. At that particular moment, population of 2 million Kosovans, more than 1 million were driven out, either killed or misplaced. More than half the population. This is what they call ethnic cleansing. Time has come now where Kosovan refugees are returning, but not the way they're showing. Majority are not going, for they do not trust not the Serbs only, they do not even trust NATO and UN. They have realized it. Where on earth? We do not have to study history or probably be intelligent to realize that America and Russia were never friends. How is it possible that these two merge as peacekeeping force? Doesn't make sense. What the Serbs could not finish, they are completing. They are completing. They are there. That is why now no relief organization is allowed to enter Kosovo excepting United Nations and the Red Cross. Besides America, NATO forces, UN and Red Cross, no one else is allowed. No one. Now to pinpoint, who is dangerous? Who is there that's going to speak against NATO? Which refugee could be later a threat to us? This is where they pick it. Because the KLA themselves had many spies. So this is the condition. And this condition does not stop here. It is going to continue. According to the prediction of the coming of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, it doesn't stop there. It has to move in right till Syria. So according to my personal, please, this is not from hadith, My personal observation, next place is Macedonia. Montenegro is already dominant Serbs. From there, Albania is easy target. Enter into Greece, who are their brothers. Greece into Cyprus, which is also part of the family. Cyprus into Syria. Is it not that we learn that Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, once he will be recognized as the Khalifa, he will want to make Syria his headquarters? And once he reaches the headquarters, he will be told there's an 800,000 strong army in Aleppo, that is north of Syria. And this is the great battle, which one third of the followers of Imam Mahdi will become hypocrites. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that they will run away from the battlefield. There will be such nifaq in them that until the day of Qiyamah, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala will never forgive them. One third will become martyrs and one third will become victorious. 3 days of fierce battle, no one will know what's happening. On the fourth day, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala inshallah will grant victory to the Muslims. Is this not all working towards that? Is it not a puzzle which the pieces are beginning to fit? My respected elders, this is happening in Europe. In Africa, in Somalia, is happening right now. No media is telling us what is happening to the Muslims. Let us not become complacent. Let us not become lax and only say Ayatul Kursi. For that does not only help brothers. We also have to be on the alert. We are not here to probably elaborate on this, but this is where we conclude and make dua to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. O Allah, grant honor, respect and dignity to the ummah of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Amin wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa maulana Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. اللهم أنت السلام ومنك السلام تبارك يا ذا الجلال والإكرام الحمد لله حمدا كثيرا دائما طاهرا طيبا مباركا فيه اللهم لك الحمد بالإيمان ولك الحمد بالإسلام ولك الحمد بالقرآن ولك الحمد بالنبي الرحمة ولك الحمد بالسنة ولك الحمد بالأهل والمال والمعافاة اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله ولك الخلق كله ولك الملك كله وبيدك الخير كله وإليك يرجع الأمر كله على نيته وسر إنك على ما تشاء قدير إنك على ما تشاء قدير اللهم اهدنا في من هديت وعافنا في من عافيت وتولنا في من توليت وبارك لنا فيما أعطيت وقنا واصرف عنا برحمتك شر ما قضيت فإنك تقضي ولا يقضى عليك إنه لا يذل من واليت ولا يعز من عاديت تبارك ربنا وتعاليت نستغفرك اللهم من جميع الذنوب والخطايا ونتوب إليك وصلى الله على النبي الكريم اللهم اغفر لنا وللمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات وألف بين قلوبهم وأصلح ذات بينهم وانصرهم على عدوك وعدوهم اللهم لعن الكفرة الذين يصدون عن سبيلك ويكذبون رسلك ويقاتلون أولياءك اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم انصر المجاهدين خصوصا في الكوسوفا والفلسطين والأفغانستان والكشمير والتاجكستان واللبنان والسودان والصومال وفي كل مكان وفي الأرض الإسلام اللهم ارحم شهداء المسلمين اللهم ارحم شهداء المسلمين اللهم ارحم شهداء المسلمين اللهم انزل الصبر على أمهات الشهداء اللهم انزل الصبر على أولاد الشهداء اللهم اغذل أعداءهم اليهود والنصارى والمشركين والشيوعيين والصربيين اللهم أهلكهم كما أهلكت عاد وثمود اللهم خذهم أخذ عزيز مقتدر اللهم خالف بين كلمتهم وزلزل أقدامهم وشتت شملهم وفرج جمعهم وانزل بهم بأسك الذي لا ترده عن القوم المجرمين Oh Allah, you are the most gracious, most merciful. Oh Allah, you are our sustainer, provider, forgiver. Oh Allah, please forgive us for our sins. Oh Allah, we are weak, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, guide us onto the ihdina sirat al-mustaqim. Oh Allah, wherever the ummah is suffering, Ya Allah, let this not be a means of trials and tribulations. Ya Allah, if this is the imtihan, Ya Allah, we fear we are so weak in iman that every single one will be destroyed. Ya Allah, instead, Ya Allah, give us the tawfiq, Ya Allah, Strengthen our iman, Ya Allah. Guide us onto the ihdina siratul mustaqim. Oh Allah, have mercy upon the ummah, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, on the day of Qiyamah, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, if Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will have to ask us, what was the condition? What did you do? Ya Allah, we will be even embarrassed and ashamed, Ya Allah, to say we are your ummati, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, safeguard us from that embarrassment, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, make us the true and fortunate ummatis of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh Allah, as far as the ummah, wherever they suffering, Ya Allah, grant honor, respect and dignity to the ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh Allah, we are suffering in the hands of the kuffar, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, those very same kuffar and enemy, Ya Allah, their hearts are in your control, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, once Umar set, Ya Allah, forth with the intention to slay and kill Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh Allah, you granted him hidayah, Ya Allah. He became Hazrat Umar Farooq, Ya Allah, the second greatest khalif of Islam. Ya Allah, these very same enemies, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, their hearts are in your control, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, soften their hearts, grant them hidayah, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, if hidayah is not the means, Ya Allah, let them realize the importance of human life, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, if this is not their taqdeer and written out for them, Ya Allah, Allah, destroy the enemy of deen, Ya Allah. You wipe them out, Ya Allah. You disgrace them, Ya Allah. You are sufficient to destroy them, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, whatever is our problems or difficulties we are facing, Ya Allah, whether in our homes, in our communities, in our country, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, in the global situation, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, have mercy upon us, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, have mercy upon us, Ya Allah. Most important, Ya Allah, let us live with iman, Ya Allah. Let us die with iman, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, let us also, Ya Allah, receive, Ya Allah, the rank of martyrdom, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, in the day of Qiyamah, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, raise us amongst your chosen ones, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, through the tufail and barakah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Oh Allah, accept our du'as. Antal musta'an wa alayka al-balag. Wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al-aliyyil azim. Amin, amin, amin. Bijahi al-Nabi al-Kareem. Wa sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa ashabi ajma'in. Bifadlika ya Rahman ya Rahim. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wa salamun ala al-mursaleen. Wa alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Birahmatika ya Rahman Rahimin. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. My brothers, I have taken much of your time. Mulana did say short program.